So yesterday we read a piece of the Sicha of Inyono Shel Teiras HaChasidus that explains Shemen. Right? And we explain Shemen in two ways. First, we explain Shemen in a very, very philosophical way. And then we explained how the philosophical understanding of Shemen reflects itself in the physiology of Shemen as it's explained in Torah. What was the philosophical idea of Shemen? He calls it essence. One of the Chevra told me that he heard Shmua that I don't like the word essence, and it's true. I don't like the word essence, but I don't like the word essence as a translation of the word etzem, because it doesn't say anything. But the Rebbe himself uses the word essence or essence. The concept of essence in this case is like shamlunis, like richness, like fat, like tam, the geschmack behind something. What's unusual about shemen, as the Rebbe told us yesterday, is that it's the essence lakoil, for everything. So the Rebbe makes the argument, for anything to be the essence of everything, it has to be removed. And I illustrated yesterday too with a mashal. There's a level of geschmack, which is distinct from person to person. This one enjoys one thing, another person enjoys something different, a third person enjoys something else. That level of your personality does reveal itself. But the level of your personality, we're all the same, because we all have the same shemen, the same essence, is absolutely nivdal. Nobody knows that. At least most people never discover that level of themselves, because when you have something which is the essence for everything, it has to be removed from everything. On the one hand, and on the other hand, it's found inside of everything. So to give context, the terminology that we use in the first shiur, which is not my word, just the sichas of the Friedrich Rebbe, the lakus is altas a lakus, this is the shemen of the creation. Everything in the creation has at its essence that it's godliness. Alakus is out is alakus. There's other ways of saying it. In the Kuntis in Yonah Shel Teiras HaChasidus, the Rebbe uses the word Yechida. That's the choice word that the Rebbe uses. But whatever word you use, the concept is that there is a level of Shemen which the whole creation shares. This level of Shemen which the whole creation shares is the deepest level of what the creation is. This is Chasidus. Alakus is out is alakus. The idea of Shemen. And the two sides of Shemen is, it's found everywhere, and it's available nowhere. Everything has it, and no one knows what he has. And then the Rebbe brought the Nigla Shebedava. The Nigla Shebedava is that Shemen has two characteristics. The first characteristic of Shemen is that it's mefapei abakuli, it pervades, it bores through, it permeates everything. And at the same time, tsof al kol mashkin, it mixes with nothing. And in yesterday's class, I tried at least briefly to make the case that you see b'mtzias, that chassidus is this way. Everybody appreciates chassidus, and it makes everybody very nervous. And part of the reason chassidus makes people so nervous is because you don't know what it is. You don't understand why it works and how it works. I have a great story. I don't have time to tell you the whole story about riches. But there was a shliach of the Rebbe. I heard a story from his father, who met a black man who thought he was a Christian. And he was a major general in the United States Army. And he told this shliach that his great-grandmother was a Jew. And he figured out that he's Pasha Jewish. His mother's mother's mother. The guy's 100% black. I mean, he's black. He's an African-American. That's it. Anyways, he tells me he has to put on the film. He didn't want. His wife made him. He starts putting on the film. He starts to cry, to bawl. Now, it's not the pshat that this guy grew up with latkes, you know, like somebody that I met. A kid from the Holocaust. He spent the Holocaust years in a convent. He says he smelled latkes and his childhood came back to him. This guy never had latkes in his life. He was raised in a Christian home by goyim. His great-grandmother married a black man, and their daughter married a black man, and their daughter married a black man. That's his mother. So he had no prior sense of his identity as a Jew, and he starts to cry. So he got angry, because he understood that this doesn't make any sense. He realized how ridiculous it is. What's he crying? He doesn't mean anything. So he starts to scream at the shliach. What am I saying? Why am I crying? In other words, he thought it's like some magic. It's called pintaliyit. It's called shemen. It's called yechidah. It's found everywhere and nobody has it. It's found everywhere and nowhere. It has the two characteristics of oil. So now we're going to read the Sikha. We're going to begin on page 196. It's the same stack that I handed you last night. And we're just going to read those pieces that are Negel and Nidin. Now what happens in this Sikha, which didn't happen in the previous Sikha, at least most basically, is that the Rebbe adds a third property. Yesterday's shtickle told us two things about oil. It mixes with nothing and it mixes with everything. It's found everywhere and it's not available to anyone. The third characteristic, which our Sikha is going to bring, is you can't eat it by itself. You have to mix it with another food. And only then is it edible. So let's read it. So you know in Chassidus, there's water, and there's wine, and there's oil. Water is nigla de teira. Wine is like Kabbalah, which is called the rosin de raisa, the secrets of the teira. And shemen, oil, is like rosin de rosin, the secrets of the secrets. This whole form of water, wine, oil is based on the Mittel Rebbe, and the Imre Bina, which we showed yesterday. He's the one who explains Chassidus by developing his idea of water, wine, and oil. What do we know about wine? The first thing about wine is that you can live without it. Wine is a luxury. Wine is a pleasure food. You don't need wine to survive. You need bread. Wine is eaten for the purposes of having pleasure and joy. The second thing we know about wine is if you drink wine in an empty stomach, you'll get sick. Wine you drink with a meal. And what the wine adds to the meal is addition to eating food. The food is happy. In other words, wine changes you. It changes your awareness. It lifts you up, changes you. And of course, the nimshel is Kabbalah. You can survive without Kabbalah. If you learn Kabbalah by itself, you'll go mad. If you are, as the Rambam says, Mamalek Kreisi Belechem Abasa, you learn lots of Nigla. And then you're Meta'il Bepadis, you learn Pnimiyas HaTeira, Kabbalah is going to bring joy and upliftedness to your life, provided that you don't just learn Kabbalah, you drink the wine along with the bread and the meat, which is nigla de teira. This is wine. Oil is chassidus. It doesn't intoxicate you, it doesn't make you happy, it doesn't make you change what you are, but it reveals the truth of yourself. The effect that chassidus has on a person is different than the effect that Kabbalah. Kabbalah raises a person up. Chassidus, I don't know what the right language is, reveals the pnimius of what the person is. Let's do a little bit of reading. We're on page 196, Yayin. Av she'ein imuch l'kiyam ha'adam. You don't must have wine in order to subsist. Shalachein shtiyase, which is why drinking wine, eina b'tediros k'mei mayim alech. You don't drink wine the way you drink water and bread, because those are staples. You can't live without those. Kiyam b'zmanim yuchadam on special occasions. Shenitesef ha'tzedech ha'meyuchad. You add an additional need because of a special occasion, biyayin with wine. And the example that he brings is Shabbos, Yom Tov, Ukiyetze Bezeh. Harei bezmanim miyuchadim eila, during these special times, sheisim oisa, you drink the wine. The wine is never drunk by itself, it's drunk in conjunction with a meal. A person who drinks wine without a meal is an alcoholic, is sick. But even when you're drinking wine with the meal, the wine is drunk separately. You eat and then you drink. It is imbibed, it is drunk as a liquid unto itself. Moreover, it's mashke choshev. It's so important, it has its own bracha. So on the one hand, wine comes along with food. On the other hand, you don't mix the wine with the food. You eat the food and then you drink the wine. So the wine is an entity unto itself which is supporting the meal. It's supporting the food, the bread and the meat that you're eating, but you're enjoying the wine as an entity unto itself. It has its own bracha, it has its own metzias, etc. Mashenk and shemen, please look inside, as opposed to oil. Gam kishemishtam shimboy. When one uses oil, kidei lahoisif tainig, in order to add pleasure. Now, of course, none of the people in this room, at least I'm going to assume, I may be wrong, are cooks. But pretty much everything that your mother or whoever it is that prepares your meals prepares, they put some kind of richness into it. Some kind of fat, some kind of richness. You make a cake, you put an egg in. Almost everything has richness, has something which adds a richness to it, and that's the basis that makes it taste good. Right? Oil doesn't taste good, but when you mix oil into a cake, the oil contributes that whatever the ingredients, whatever the flavor, and whatever the taste are, is enriched by the fact that it has shemen. The oil by itself is disgusting, but when it has the right proportions, it's even true of challah, which is bread. The oil changes, like egg challah, it changes it from being dry to being enriched. But the point is, you never eat the oil on its own. Says the Rebbe, Ein Sheisim Esei Bitur Mashkev. If the Atzmei, the oil is never drunk as a liquid, a fluid, as a drink of its own. Ve'adarabe, to be sure, Shemen Bifnei Atzmei Mazik L'ha'adam. Oil by itself would hurt a person. And therefore, Elama Arvim Mimenu B'Sharam Acholam, it's mixed into other foods. Ve'aktip M'vadan, in very, very small amounts. But the flip side of that is, everything has oil. And when I say oil, I don't mean oil in the narrow sense of the word. Oil in the broad sense of the word, whether you're using margarine, you're using Crisco, or you're using even an egg. It's richness. Richness. That's what shemen is. You don't eat it by itself, but you pretty much mix it into everything you're going to consume because it contributes something very important, that it should be rich. So the Rebbe now continues. Next paragraph. Please look inside. V'dugmasei benista detata. Now, let's apply wine and oil to the two levels of the secret dimensions of Teira, which is wine and oil, or in other words, Kabbalah and Chassidus. Yayin, wine, remez al rozen de Teira sheshayochem legile. Wine represents secrets of Teira. What's the title, secrets of Teira? Secrets of Teira means that everything in Yiddishkeit has a dimension which has a certain richness to it, has a certain happiness to it, right? What do we do? We're frum. What do frum people do? They learn Torah, they do mitzvah. Sometimes they enjoy it more, sometimes they enjoy it less, sometimes they understand it more, sometimes they understand it less, right? But when you learn Torah and do mitzvahs, the primary motivation for your learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is emunah. I believe that God said this. I believe that this is real. A person who's involved in Kabbalah has the additional advantage of actually experiencing godliness. He doesn't only have to believe it, he can actually enjoy it. A mekubal does a mitzvah, he doesn't only understand that the mitzvah that I told you last night is going to give him better midas or better dais. A mekubal does a mitzvah and he experiences the godliness behind that mitzvah. But the level of godliness that Kabbalah represents is, in the language of this Rebbe, of the Rebbe, Rosin de Teira Sheshayachim Lugil, the secrets there which are close to be revealed, Kmeyayin like wine, Shebezmanim Yechadim on special occasions, Mishtam Shembe Betur Mashke, used as a liquid unto itself. Exactly how this is understood, I don't know, but the Rebbe is saying Kabbalah is special. Kabbalah adds to Yiddishkeit a geschmack, a richness. Not an egocentric richness, a godly centric richness. You experience the Eibishter in the mitzvah, and it changes your life as a religious person, as a practitioner of Torah and mitzvahs, and it's revealing the godliness and the words of the Rebbe, which is Shayochem Lagil. What about oil? B'shemen. On the other hand, oil. Remez al rozen de rozen shebeteide, it chose the secrets of the secrets, Shalamayla Megili, which is never revealed. Kameh HaShemen, like oil. She'enei roi l'shtia b'fnei atzma, which can't drink it by itself. V'ad she'mazek la'odom, would actually hurt a person. Kiven she'enei ele kli l'darga nelis, she'enei kli l'darga nelis, because the person's not a keli for it. Kim la'adav tipen mimenu, you add drops of the oil b'toich ma'chalachet into another food. Now, however, what's the difference between mixing oil with another food and drinking wine by itself after you ate food? The difference is when you drink wine by itself after you ate food, there's a separation between the food and the wine. Of course, the drinking of the wine changes a meal. Because you drink the wine, it makes you feel good, gives you pleasure, and it makes you happy. But the experience of drinking the wine is physically and psychologically separate from the food. If you didn't eat a meal and drank wine, you'd get sick. When you eat a meal, the wine changes the experience of the meal, but the wine is a drink unto itself. But when you take oil and mix it with another food, what do you have? You don't have oil. You have another food. So do you ever taste oil? Do you ever experience what oil is? And the answer correctly is never and always. Never, because you cannot experience oil by itself. It's too potent, it's too damaging. And always, because everything is changed by the virtue of the fact that there's oil inside it. Everything is changed by the virtue of the fact that there's oil inside it. So do you ever experience shemen? Do you even know what it feels like to experience shemen? It doesn't. Again, the answer is the same. Always and never. Never because you're not experiencing the shemen by itself. Always because it's available in everything. Let's keep reading. Turn to page 199. And as you see, we've done a considerable amount of skipping, because we're learning only these few paragraphs of this sikha, which touch on the subject matter that we're interested in, which is understanding what Chassidus is in its essence. The mashal for Chassidus is shemen. Okay, if I were to ask you tomorrow, what is Chassidus, the correct answer would be, Elikus is al, salt is Elikus, period. The mashal that illustrates that is oil. And the point is, it's everywhere and nowhere. Everybody has it, and nobody knows exactly what it is. Says the Rebbe, Obanista, the Teda, Gufa, Mudgish, Inyan, Zebe, Shemen, the Teda, Yesem, Ibiyan, Sheva, Teda, Ki. Oil represents the secret, the mystery of Teda, more than wine, for the following reason. Nesef, Lekach, first of all, Sheshemen, Meda, Rosen, Rosen, Sheva, Teda. Oil shows on a deeper level of a secret within a secret. Shalamaylo mirazin stam, which is above secret stam, which is yayin shabateda. Kabbalah, which is wine, is the secrets of teda. Oil, which is chsidis, is the secrets of the secret. So clearly the second is deeper than the first, but that's words, it's rhetoric. Okay, you told me, I believe you, fine. Kabbalah reveals the secrets of teda, wine reveals the secrets of teda. I might as well tell you a geshmak of art. It's just a story to break the monotony, perhaps. There was a Yid by the name of Rabbi Avraham Sefer. Rabbi Avraham Sefer was a direct descendant of the Chassam Sefer, right? Whose first name was Moshe Sefer. He was the Rabbi of Pressburg. The Chassam Sefer is like a Rebbe of a whole segment of Jews, you know? There's Chassidim, there's Misnagdim, and there's Chassam Sefer. People don't realize it. It's like a whole group of Ashkenazic Jews who just don't get involved in the whole situation with Chassidim and Misnagdim. And they're beautiful Jews, by and large. They're very good Midas. They call themselves Oberlander, as opposed to Unterlander, yeah. Anyway, this Avraham Sefer knew the whole Torah. It was a Gon Oilam. I had a very strong relationship with the Rebbe. I mean, the Rebbe told me it was an open door. Anytime he wanted, he would come, they would talk and learning. And it was a sight to see. Two Yidden sparring, you know, fighting in Torah. They know the whole Torah. It's pretty exciting to observe. You don't understand much, but it's still exciting to see. This Avraham Sefer, he visited the Rebbe frequently, and he once told the Rebbe in the Yechidus a vart from his Elter Zeide, the Chassam Sefer. And the vart was that the Chassam Sefer said once that in the Svaris of Migay and Chazaka you have Rosen de Rosen de Eirais. Migay and Chazaka are classic Niglis Svaris. Right? Migay, you guys are learning what are you learning this year? Bavakama, what are you learning this year? Huh? Baba Kama. Mige is Mali Lishakir. If you're going to lie, you could tell a better lie. Right? Mige. Because if you wanted a lie, tell a better lie. That's a basis for Nemunas. And Chazaki, you know what Chazaki is, right? Chazaki means, the Tater says in the Lashon from the Chazal, Anan Sahadi. There are certain established situations, and we say, Chazaka, for example, Kol Masha Tachas Yad Adam Shalayu. If you're holding a pen, it's probably yours. Right? These are classic Nigla theories that explain questions of ownership and honesty and theft and so on. It's Nigla. It's real Nigla. The same svaras that you have in the Gemara, you have in the Havdalah, in the American jurisprudence, the American legal system also has such criteria, ownership and established ownership I'm very short for words, but assumed ownership based on prior involvement and so on. So the Chassam Sefer said that in Migay and Chazaka you have Seydes HaTeira. So when he told us to the Rebbe put his head down, thought for a while, raised up his head, said, Seydes HaTeira, yeah. In Migay and Chazaka you have secrets of Teira. He put his head down a second time and thought a little further, and he picked up his head again and he said, Seydes HaTeira, Dach Medrach. The idea that in these Niglas Svaras you have the secrets of the secrets of Teda, I still need to think about it. I mean, imagine what that means. Someone makes a statement like that, and you're actually going to... It's very, very abstract. You have to be very, very smart to even address that. I mean, what does that mean? Say this at Teda, Migin and Chazak. Kabbalah is yayin, that's seydes ha-teira. Chassidus is shemen. It's seydes ha-teira. The thing about chassidus is you learn it, you understand it, and you don't even see what it's doing to you because it's so subtle, it's so sublime. When you learn Kabbalah, you see the change it makes in you. When you learn chassidus, you don't see the change because the change becomes one with you, but the change is actually a deeper kind of a change. Let's keep reading. So first of all, there's the technical difference that shemen is razin, de razin, and yayin is razin. Says the Rebbe Mudgesh b'shemen, there's another way where you see how oil has an advantage over wine, is because she'ein, again, you repeat the same thing again, she'ein e'mashke b'fnei atzmei, it's not an oil which you can eat by itself, el ma'arvim eisei b'shar ma'chol, you mix with other foods, and this is the same quote we had in last night's class. I'm on page 199, the underlined lines in the middle, umefa pe'a b'kol davar, it penetrates, it bores through, it gets involved in everything. V'digmosei b'shemen shebeteira, the same is true in chassidus, that it's ha'iro v'ha'achtos denister shebeteira, just like oil gets involved in everything, chassidus mixes with everything, that shemen, rosin shebeteira, oil, which is the secrets of the secret say to get involved in nigla d'teira, lechem abasa with nigla, which is bread and meat, shegam limud nigla d'teira, when a person learns nigla. After he learns chassidus, nasa choder begedushas ha'teira, it's a holy teira, it's a different teira because of the chassidus, chachmosa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shemen toir, pure oil, this is a chanek yesicha, so we're talking about shemen toir. So the point that the Rebbe makes is what? Chassidus is everywhere. But there's no such thing as pure chassidus. Pure chassidus is a six-word statement. Elokus is out of Elokus. Conversation over. Pure chassidus is found in the food that you're eating that has chassidus inside of itself. What is the food that you're eating that has chassidus inside of itself? It could be a black Gemara. It could be a Mishnah. It could be Din Shachan Lara, it could be a Pasuk Yechumish, it could be a page of Kabbalah, it could be a paragraph of Medrash. Whatever Inyan and Teda you're going to learn, Chassidus is the Shemen, Chassidus is the essence, Chassidus is the Pnimius of that thing. So Chassidus is different than Kabbalah. When you learn Chassidus, you don't feel consciously how Chassidus is changing. Wine makes you drunk, wine makes you happy. Chassidus doesn't. But it changes everything without changing anything. The effect that Chassidus has on a person is real. It's marked, you can see it. But it's not pronounced, it's subtle. It gets, so to speak, into the neshama of the person. Like oil, which is mixed with every food. Now, to be honest, the way I am packaging this, the way I'm teaching it to you, is that there are three points. Right? What are the three points? Point number one, that oil mixes with nothing, which means you don't really have chassidus ever. Point number two, that oil mixes with everything, which you have chassidus everywhere. And point number three, you can't have oil by itself. The Rebbe doesn't bring the first of these three points, he only brings the second and the third. Okay, but what the Rebbe added here is the difference between Kabbalah and chassidus is, number one, Kabbalah you have by itself. Chassidus you have through other things. Number two, Kabbalah you feel the conscious chain. It makes you shikir. Chassidus, you don't feel the conscious change. But the change is real nevertheless because it gets into your kishkes. It gets. I once asked my students years ago a simple question. In life, in Avodas Hashem, there's two paths. Yeah? One path is that something comes from heaven to earth. The other path is something comes from earth to heaven. One path, it starts from the person that goes towards the Eibusha, like Ani L'Doidi, in the spirit of Elul, and the other path is things come from heaven to earth in the spirit of Doidi Li. Okay? Which is chassidus? Is chassidus from the top down to or the bottom up?
Both.
That's a fair answer, but you have to explain.
It works both ways. It's a relationship. It's a built relationship. You do something, well, either you do something and in turn Hashem gives back to you, or the other way around.
Yeah, but that's true in everything.
You're saying, how is it special about
chassidus? Not saying special. Which is chassidus primarily? Is chassidus something that comes from the Eibushter to the person, or from the person to the Eibushter?
From the person to the
Eibushter. Anybody else?
Well, it depends how you get it.
Okay, what are the choices? Right. So is chassidus a serusa del yelo or is chassidus a serusa del tata? I think what you said is absolutely true. I think chassidus is absolutely in Esrusa de Leila. Chassidus is a light that comes from heaven. But the whole point of Chassidus is that a light that comes from heaven that finds your fire. The whole point of Chassidus is something comes into your life, it triggers you, it moves you. But the nature of the movement, the nature of the effect of Chassidus on you is that it's not without. It's not something moving you. It's something triggering you. Chassidus really is, I mean, I said it earlier this year, I mean, we don't have that many classes so far, but I've been saying it already. Chassidus is that the Jew is more important than Judaism. That's what Chassidus is. Chassidus is that God is inside you. Right? You know, Debbie used to always tell people, you're not makad of anybody to Yiddishkeit. You don't give anybody anything. You help people discover what they truly are. That's Chassidus. Chassidus is not giving you a lakus. Chassidus is triggering the lakus inside you. So if Chassidus was something outside of you that's triggering a change in you, that's wine. But since Chassidus, even though it's something that's coming from outside of you, it's coming into you in the kind of a way that it's trying to get what your Jew is to be awakened, that's Shemen. Why is it Shemen? Because you don't really see the effect. Huh?
On one hand,
on the one hand, the effect is obvious. On the other hand, where did it come from? Why did the person change?
Detective C. Huh?
You don't understand where the effect came from. You don't understand yourself. You don't understand. You look at yourself and say, I don't understand what's going on with me.
Because it gave you a drive to change you. So it wasn't like it changed you.
I would say differently. It gave you a drive to discover you. There's a difference. In other words, it's not something from without. Chassidus is always trying to get you to trigger yourself. When I was a boy, I'm younger than you, 16 years old, I lived in Maristan. I was learning what they call upstairs. You know, in Maristan, they still have the Gezeira. This is the Malachuvah, and the life is Chasa Shalom, they should meet with Chalt Ibigen. I spent a lot of my time downstairs, because I like Malachuvah. And I used to talk to them. I would ask them how they became frum. Because to me, the whole process of becoming frum is just, it doesn't make sense. Why would a person, I mean, who has a pretty good life, give up everything to put on a black hat and a jacket and take a haircut and sit 20 hours in front of a book? It's very profound. The whole phenomenon of tshuva is mind-blowing. You can't imagine a person doing tshuva. Guess what? A Baal tshuva who did tshuva 10 years ago has no idea how he did it. It doesn't make sense after the fact. Shasmai said it's so obvious. But what's happening is so profound. It's so infinite. It's so big. And it's not elikus triggering you. It's elikus triggering the elikus inside of you. That's why it's compared to Shemen. It's mixed in the Torah. It's mixed in the person. So when I say you don't see the change, is you don't see how the thing outside of you is causing the change inside of you, because the change is your change. It's not the change that's coming from Teruzah Hasidus. There's a paragraph on page 200 which contradicts everything I've been saying. And I'm going to add this paragraph right here. I'm going to read it. It's on page 200 on the right side. It says, Klema, this means that you have Chanukah and Yutus Kislev. Chanukah is connected to Shemen. Yutus Kislev is connected to Shemen. Both have to do with the idea of Mesiras Nefesh and so forth. The Rebbe wants to analyze the difference between the two. So the Rebbe says, "B'chanukah mudgashes be'iker pu'ulas Hashemin mor shabateira." On Chanukah, there is, of course, the effect of oil, which is pnimiyas hateira. But it's how pnimiyas hateira affects nigla, belimud nigla, and how you learn nigla. Shu iker alimud, which of course is the primary thing that people learned. That shenasa chodur, it becomes permeated by yediyah v'ha'akara v'hergish, with the knowledge, recognition, and feel. The Gedusha of the Torah and the holiness of the Torah, she chachmas yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the chachmah of the Eibish HaTorah Secha. In other words, by Chanukah you didn't have as a constant thing, as an effect of Chanukah. In other words, the moment of Mesiras Nefesh is the moment of Mesiras Nefesh. But the effect that the Yom Tov Chanukah has on posterity is that you see in Nigla Chsidus, you see in Nigla the Eibish HaTorah. V'achidish the Yitz Kislev, what happened in Yitz Kislev, which of course, Shleimus Agil Hashemen Shabbatera, Shabbat Chanukah, which is the end, or the completion, the wholeness, and the perfection and peacefulness of the revelation of the level of Teda, which is called Shemen, which begins on Chanukah, and it ends Yitzchak Kislev, says the Rebbe Shanasa Gamalimud Berazin Derazin. Shemen, it becomes the idea of learning the secrets of the secret Shemen, Shebet Teda Betor Limud Choshev Ikri, as a limud, as a learning which is valuable and primary. Hainu Leirak Be'efen Shema Arvan Hashemen Razin Derazin Behamazin. Ikri Nigli, not only learning Chassidus as it's mixed into Nigla, and so to speak, by eating Nigla, you're tasting the flavor of Chassidus. Elash Hashemen Asme, the oil itself, Razin Derazin Shebet Teda, when Yenikish Behamazin is primary in the food. In other words, you're eating Shemen itself. How? Shabbat Behavana Vasoga Besechal Adam, because Chassidus in Chabad is brought down to a level of human understanding. Moreover, Yitpanus Amenei, it's so understood that you can actually be creative in it. Bedugmas Mazen Gashmi, like physical food, Panasek Ibshutish, Nas the Mazek Ibsari, becomes transformed into you, you become transformed into it, and so forth. Now, of course, the question is, I said exactly the opposite. I underscore the idea that there's no such thing as Shemen by itself. And here the implication is that on Chanukah there's no such thing as Shemen by itself, and on Yitzchak Kislev there is. Now, obviously, the first point that I have to make is that I obviously made a mistake. When I said what I said, I based it on this sikha, and now that we're learning this sikha, the Rebbe says something different. But I'm not chickening up, I'm not backing down. In other words, I still believe that even after the Rebbe says that in Chassidus you have Shemen by itself, it's really not Shemen by itself. What I'm saying, in other words, is what I said to you in the earlier classes, that all of Chassidus is summarized in the one statement, Alakus is Alts and Alts is Alakus, is true. And accordingly, in order to have an understanding of Chassidus, you need to have an alternative body, a body, a goof of Torah, whether it's Nigla or it's Medrash or it's Chakida or it's Kabbalah, that helps bring forward this statement, Alakus is Alts and Alts is Alakus, or the Shemen or essence of Torah or the Yechida of Torah, in a way that comes down to Havana Vasaga. I think that the Rebbe is not saying anything different here. When the Rebbe says here that Chassidus is learned by itself, as similar to the idea of eating oil by itself, he doesn't mean that Chassidus is available without another form. For sure, when you learn Chassidus, you're really learning other Chalki HaTeda with a Chassidic enlightenment. What he means, I think, and of course this is only B'derech Hefsher, is that today, when you learn Chassidus, whether you're learning an inyan in Kabbalah the way Chassidus explains it, or an inyan in Medrash the way Chassidus enhances it, or an inyan in Halacha, or an inyan in Chazal, or of course Psukim in Tanakh, the way Chassidus enhances it, certainly the Chassidus is coming to you through those alternative forms. But you're not simply hearing an alternative form with a Chassidic twist. The alternative form is transformed into Chassidus. In other words, it's not that Chassidus is pushing or somehow overwhelming the body that it's mislabish in, but rather it becomes so one with the body that it's as if it's been made into Chassidus itself. What I'm thinking is to say, like the words Ratzon and Tainuk. On Chanukah, the union of Chassidus is like Ratzon, and on Yitzchak Kislev is like Tainuk. You have the Chassidus through another form, but you have it in such a rich way as though it's the Chassidus itself. Now, I don't know if this answer is correct. It probably isn't. But I still think, I honestly think it's true that pure Chassidus is only a Nekuda, and that the availability of Chassidus is by taking that Nekuda and putting it into other existing forms of Teda. And as can be said in any situation like this, Vadayin Sarechi and Gadol.